catering totally makes me podcast better.
I don't know. I like that we have a good spread. It looks generous. You know, there are many fine fruits and vegetables. But I will say, if you're chomping down during the sort of the rest of this show, I will, like, bowl a dip in your face.
I disagree. I'll tell you why. Because my friends know that a podcast has catering. That makes us sound really professional.
Oh, we're very professional. But on the other hand, I think the chomping is a little off task. And also, if it continues, dip in your face.
Carrots are perfect for recording.
Western Bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works.
And welcome to the Mellow I'm Trying to Think podcast. This song, it sounds mellow, but then here it comes. Oh, see, that's exciting. Alright, welcome to I'm Trying to Think, episode 18. I'm Chuck Werner, and with me as always is Dave Stern. Say hello, Dave.
Hello.
Or extol on the virtues of Brandy and how she is a fine girl.
Gee, what a fine girl. If I recall
the next
part of the song, yeah, she will be a good wife.
She would
to
be.
To someone.
She would be.
Oh, so it's purely
but
subjective.
She's in love with a guy, and he's in love with the sea. Problem! You know, it's like a love triangle involving an inanimate object.
They should have an open marriage with the ocean. Done.
Or the ocean's kind of animate, I guess, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
This podcast,
Sailors are weird, aren't they?
Sponsored by the Foundation Institute. Check foundation-institute.org. And you can visit I'm Trying to Think on the web at imtryingtothink.com. Now, we have a Twitter at twitter.com/imtryingtothink. But I'm fired. Announcement. I'm fired from the show. Firing myself because I forgot to update the Twitter last week with the new podcast.
It was his job.
It is my job.
It was delegated last week.
I feel completely responsible.
Our Twitter fans left completely out of the lurch. They may think we're dead, honestly.
Yeah. But we are also available on Facebook. Here's a fun thing. Fun fact about the show. If you Google I'm Trying to Think, you will get our Facebook group and our Twitter before you get us.
Yeah, it's true. Also, fun fact about Facebook. I recently realized that there's a direct correlation in the amount of times a night I refresh Facebook and how depressed I am.
I'm imagining it's inverse to your mood, so more refreshes, lower mood.
Yeah. It's a negative correlation.
Well, yeah, I mean, depression, lots of people think it's, you know, sadness, but really what it comes down to is almost a boredom with life. I like to think of it that way more, because that's how I feel when I'm depressed. And when you are bored with life, Facebook seems real exciting.
Yeah, no, it's not even that it seems exciting. It's just, for me at least, it's because I don't have the get up and gumption to do anything else. That's sort of the base, like, to me.
So your baseline action is refreshing Facebook?
No, to me, what refreshing Facebook is for me mentally at this point in my life, it's what channel surfing used to be.
Mm.
It's basically like, I refresh Facebook, I check Twitter, it's blogs. Like, to me, because I don't channel surf anymore.
Yeah.
But that's why we baseline, like, nothing's going on.
And here's what's gonna fuel your depression. Is if you reload Facebook and nothing new happens, right? That's just going to make you feel worse, right?
Maybe.
Let me tell you something, though. Photos. That's the way to go.
I was just
Start looking at other people's photos.
Browsing people's pictures?
Because everyone is new, right? Or what I do is I keep a large selection of blogs with mostly blogs that make fun of people that I never check.
And then I go look at those.
And those make me feel a lot better. Regretsy is my new favorite. That is, you know, Etsy is a site that...
Yeah, so it's basically homemade crafts of dubious quality.
Oh, is the dubious. Idea. Dubious is an interesting word. This goes far beyond dubious. For instance, someone took an orange peel that they had perfectly peeled, you know, so it was one continuous thing.
Right, the spirally orange peel, the classic. Right.
And
the classic.
Then they made a hair, like, clip out of it that looked kind of like a rose if a rose were brown and covered in, you know, some sort of resin to keep it from rotting.
Huh.
There are so many problems with it, yeah. You don't even know where to begin.
Yeah, that seems...
So regret
like
C
the
is
wrong
good.
Thing to do.
People of Walmart.com is solid. Even if it doesn't necessarily make fun of people, Photoshop disasters,
cake racks.
You got your This Is Why You're Fat. That's a good one. Which is just food that is terrible, and you know you have no right eating. Take away your natural rights of eating that food. And so that actually is nice because it's new content, you know,
right.
So your life feels fresh and it's putting someone down, which in your base moments makes you feel better.
Yeah. Yeah. In your darkest days.
Yeah.
It's nice to have someone else to kick.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a horrible thing if it's in your own brain that you're kicking someone while they're down. It's actually kicking someone while they're down that is the problem.
Yeah, it's bringing it... It's making it
interactive.
It's okay to have a festering pit of negativity inside your head.
That's exactly right.
It's unleashing it onto the world that's a little bit...
It's like...
dickish.
It's like Minesweeper. It's okay to play by yourself, but if you're bringing other people into it, you're doing it wrong.
Wait, is there a multiplayer Minesweeper?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I mean... Although, I'm sure if you're an enormous Minesweeper nerd, and you have friends who are also enormous Minesweeper nerds, they backseat Minesweep. You know what
Ooh,
I mean?
Ooh, yeah. That's gotta be annoying.
My freshman roommate was way into Minesweeper. He would do, like, the easy level in, like, 6 seconds, like, that kind of thing.
I didn't even understand for the longest time, this shows you how into Minesweeper I was.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that it was a speed goal thing. I was just like, well, I guess you have to win. And I would be very considered and very, you know, take a while doing it.
I prefer Minesweeper as a big board, slow play kind of thing. Because, it speaks to my personality perhaps. But when I've got a nice big Minesweeper board and it's like mostly emptied and I'm down to like, oh no, you know, this area is
fraught
questionable.
With danger. It's fraught with danger.
I know how to do Minesweeper, but I'm looking at the numbers and there's no way from the data I have gathered to figure out which space has the mine in it. And I don't want to lose my nicely planned out board.
You've got to make a leap of faith eventually.
Look, I know I can just restart the game, but you don't understand what I've invested in this field.
Minutes.
And, you know, I have scant minutes left in my life.
are you cancering?
No. I'm just...
Is there something terminal, or is that just the grand philosophical?
Yeah, it's
there is so little time in our lives. In which case, we should probably not be talking about Minesweeper at all. And we should maybe take a break.
Do you think that talking philosophically, even, about Minesweeper is more of a waste of time than actually playing Minesweeper?
Ooh.
See, I think it's important to speak to the part of ourselves that is
that is Minesweeper?
Entertained for hours by Minesweeper in solitaire and free cell. Like, why do I have a screenshot? Because I reinstalled a computer and I have a screenshot of my Minesweeper record because I knew that it was about to be erased.
Uh-huh.
Or not Minesweeper, I'm sorry, that was free cell. My free cell record. Like how many
that
games
mattered.
How many
the
games
one
of free cell in
that...
a row I had played without losing one?
Oh God. There was a period of my life, I mean, that I cared a lot about my free cell one lost record.
But you have to ask, I mean, why do I have that screenshot? It's puzzling, honestly. It's also funny, actually, this morning.
You know, I think it's sort of, it's an ostensible, and I stress the word ostensible here. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's an ostensible accomplishment, which, you know, makes you feel good, makes you feel less depressed. And sort of, in some ways, makes you feel like you're beating back death.
I am. I'm beating back death with free cells.
Yeah. That's why, you know, having
free cells
the free cell score is important. That's why Xbox achievement points are important.
Free sales. That's why
anything that's stupid and not important but somehow feels tangible is important.
Let's be fair. Nobody's seeing my free sale screenshot. I'm not putting it out there.
Yeah, but you have it.
But at the same time.
You have it.
At the same time, my Xbox gamer score, oh, I will flaunt that. My achievement points in World of Warcraft, oh, yeah, I'm owning you in that. You know what I mean? That's actually something that I can compete with it for my, you know, utter hatred of and my complete contempt for
free time?
Competitiveness. Well, also my contempt for free time.
But I will say, if you ask anyone who's been on, you know, the Windows platform for a good 5-10 years of their life mm-hmm. at a certain point, you know they've got a free sale score. They've got a percentage.
They have a free sale score, but are they keeping it as a screenshot, like in a folder somewhere?
I don't know.
In their folder of like, this is my life, including a free. I should post that to Facebook because that tells more about me than most of the photos on Facebook. Yeah. Here is my free sale score.
This is me.
I'm here. I'm queer for free sale. Get used to it. All right. Well, maybe it's time to take a break.
I think so. So to summarize, this is our show. Facebook is depressing, but free Windows games help beat back the inevitable pain of death.
Yeah, it's basically how we go there. And we'll be right back with more. I'm trying to think. She serves them whiskey and wine. They say, Brandy, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be. Such a fine girl. Yeah, your eyes could steal a sailor from the sea. And now, part two of episode 18 of I'm Trying to Think. With Chuck Werner and Dave Stern.
That was dynamic.
Yeah, I was just feeling it.
Yeah, nice and done. Nice.
Now I'm feeling squeaky chair. But anyways, in the last segment, I said that I was queer for free sale.
Indeed you did.
Yeah, and I want to explain that because...
that might sound...
Might sound politically
offensive.
Incorrect. Might sound offensive, right. I want to make sure I'm being clear here. Actually, this comes from, I don't know, it must have been 5 years ago now, that I had a conversation with a gay friend. And we were talking about the derogatory use of gay, specifically among junior high school students, or people who think like junior high school students, you know?
Right.
And, you know, how it's just this really stupid thing, but how could you kind of reclaim it? And I said, well, one expression I've always liked is when... It was kind of around at the time, and you don't hear people say it very much anymore, or maybe you'd never heard them say it much, I don't know. But guys who liked male, you know, football players or movie stars or whatever, you know, there'd be an expression of, I'm gay for blah, like, I'm gay for Vin Diesel, you know. Like,
right.
Just a man crushes another
one.
He's
a handsome man.
Right.
He's a handsome man.
Not what it means generally. But what it means is that it's, you know.
No, I understand it. A lot of sort of like junior high kind of guys would like to suck the penises of athletes or movie stars. Yes.
I don't think you're quite getting it.
No, it seems pretty cut and dry.
We'll move on.
Pretty cut and dry.
So I said, well, why don't you use that sort of as the positive sense of it and just reclaim the word kind of, you know, like I'm gay for dill dip. In our lovely veggie tray from catering. I am gay for carrot sticks, baby carrots. I know. Don't give me that look. Anyways, and that seemed a perfectly good way to proceed. The negative connotation, for reasons that elude me at this point, because it still sounds kind of offensive, we thought gay ass was a better one. For instance, you know, anti-marriage law or anti-gay marriage laws are gay ass.
Yeah, that
doesn't
there's not a way that makes sense. That's better. But I kind
at
of
one time
I get
it made
how
sense
it feels better. I get how it feels better.
At one time, it made sense to me. I don't really care. I never use it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But
anyhow, speaking of anti-gay marriage laws,
yeah,
I know this week the ballot question in Maine is kind of keeps rolling down to inclusion. You know, Maine legalized gay marriage.
Yeah.
They're trying to push it back.
Yep.
it's apparently a pretty close vote.
Yeah, well, the polling is close. You never know.
The polling is close.
It's an off year. You never know who's going to show up and things like that. That's where it gets really goofy. But yes. Yeah. And I think that the keel on the pro-gay marriage people is off. I don't think
they're... The keel?
Yeah, the keel. That's the thing that steers the ship.
The front of the ship. No, it's not. The rudder. The rudder. No, the keel is the front.
Wait, is the keel the front? The keel runs under the ship.
No, the keel runs under the ship and is connected to the rudder, I think.
Yeah, because
the keel starts at
keel's
like
what keeps
point.
You going straight.
Yeah, the keel starts at the point and I think runs all the
way
out.
Yeah, the rudder. Like, well, the keel is off. The keel's broken. I don't know.
I know.
Ship?
The ship be fucked up.
Okay, I'm not
ship
from...
be fucked up.
Look, despite my love of Brandy the song, I am
not
a sailing
man.
You are not
from a port town.
Yeah, I'm not from a port town. Harbor town, I think, is where she's from, regardless.
Well, it's the same thing.
It's not the harbor... A port is not necessarily where a harbor is. Although it's probably better to have one. a harbor incurs a safe, you know, but it's... You don't have to necessarily have a harbor to have a port.
Okay, that's true, because you can be a port town on a river.
Exactly. That too, yeah. Because, Louisiana, New Orleans doesn't have a harbor, per se. But I would say it's a port town.
I actually think they might have a harbor, because isn't that where the river goes into the sea?
Isn't that the delta? We're clearly beyond our knowledge here.
We are land lubbers.
All right, so...
Moving on.
To get what you want, you should always ask for about twice of what you actually want, so you can negotiate to the middle. Am I right?
Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
And now, the you have a lot of leftists or liberals, because those two things are not necessarily the same, but, you know. And, hey, you probably have some conservatives. I don't know. It's an issue. People don't always fall on the same side of issues. Guess what? There aren't just two types of people in the United States or the world.
Hogwash. There are precisely two types of people.
The people who...
Fox people and MSNBC people.
That's it.
Jews. I don't know. I don't watch cable news. I'm not a people.
So you're not one of the people. You're just subhuman then.
Yeah. All right. Chud.
You're Chud, baby. That's fine. So if you believe that gay couples should have the same rights as heterosexual couples, then you shouldn't pussyfoot around these, like, ideas of a civil union. Well, I'm not for gay marriage, but I'm for civil unions. You know, like, I don't know, Hillary Clinton said that before the election. And she was like, well, I think...
Well, I mean, I think that's the position of... I mean, Obama was about
the
same.
It's a lot of people. It's a freaking...
I mean, yeah, it's the, I don't want to sound bad to the religious people, but I want to
advance equality. It's a retardalicious. It's a retardalicious statement.
Yes.
And that's a word that I just copyrighted, okay?
Oh,
trademark,
man.
Chuck Warner, retardalicious. Because retarded is offensive to some people. Retardalicious, it sounds good and bad at the same time.
Like,
but it's not retarded, so I'm not offending
anyone. Baskin Robbins is going to pay you a mint to use that in advertising.
That's flavor 33.
No, it's retardalicious.
Yeah. So
try our new frozen yogurt.
And what they say
it's
is...
retardalicious.
What they say is... I'm for equal rights, but I don't want to infringe on anyone's beliefs. Well, no one's going to force churches to marry anyone they don't want. A church right now doesn't have to marry anyone they don't want. There are still Catholic churches that won't marry you if you're marrying a Protestant. Is that, an issue of equal rights? Not really, because we don't care. It's a private institution. Whatever. So it's really dumb to believe that anything that would give equality to gay couples would somehow make churches marry them.
Yeah, that's wrong. But honestly, that church argument is pretty much a smokescreen, I would say, for mostly just people are uncomfortable and scared with gay
people. Exactly. And smokescreen is dumb.
To fix that, I think, I mean, in terms of before we give our even better idea to shortcut it,
all right.
I'm going to say the legitimate way to fix that is just time passes, like, 5 to 10 years, old, scary, bigoted people die, more gay people become visible in culture, and more importantly even than culture, just visible to their friends and family.
Well, I mean,
and
once...
younger people who are more accustomed to it,
Once the existing gay people indoctrinate the children of straight people in how to be gay.
Oh, in elementary schools, yeah, I understand.
In elementary schools. Then the problem will be solved because we'll all be gay.
Yeah, that'll solve it.
Yeah, and that'll solve it.
Oh, man, I need to invest in a Broadway show now.
Now is the time.
Okay, but...
get on the front end of that. But...
here's... We hear it, I'm trying to think.
We
have figured
out
the equality shortcut button.
We have a better
solution. And here's where it comes from. If you've noticed, like, I don't know how closely any of our listeners follow polls and stuff like that, but, you know, a decade ago or however long it was when Vermont started floating civil unions, I don't know if it was a decade or early this decade, you know, people were ripshit against them, mm-hmm. you know? People were very, you know, religious conservatives, you know, gay marriage opposed people, you know, were very against civil unions. But now that there's been, you know, a couple years of agitating for gay marriage.
Yes.
If you look at polls, religious people, you know, religious conservatives who were against civil unions are suddenly like, eh, you know, no, maybe civil unions aren't so bad. Just keep your hands off our marriage.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're getting like that.
And that's how progress kind of works. You know, people become comfortable with ideas over time. But I really think psychologically, you can introduce people to a really off-the-wall idea that you don't even want. And they'll say, no, no way, but we'll meet you in the middle. Because yeah. people love that meet you in the middle shit.
Yeah, you bargain high. I mean, that's how, it's the whole thing, I mean, that's what Obama keeps trying to do with Republicans and failing. I mean, that's, you know, why people say they like centrism, even though centrism doesn't necessarily have any political ideas.
Well, sometimes. Centrism, and the thing about centrism is it often works to get you where you want to go. But Barack Obama is dealing with possibly the most insane political party that to exist in decades.
Yeah.
And it's not any Republican, really. It's not most of the top Republicans, you know, the super Republicans. False.
No, it's just, it's the base and it's the way.
It's the base.
It's a lot of things.
But it's also people who make a lot of money off of crazy ideas. Named Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh or what have you, and Michelle Bachmann, and people who get elected off of crazy ideas.
Okay, but flipping back to our plan for civil acceptance.
So what you
gay
have
marriage.
To do is you have to come up with a concept and push for that concept, even though you don't necessarily want it, just so people will come to try and meet you in the middle. And that is why I propose gay supermarriage.
Yeah, so if we get gay supermarriage out there, you start, you know, throw gay supermarriage on a couple ballots somewhere.
Right.
Maybe even get one state where it's legal.
You could get a court ruling for gay supermarriage just for
somewhere.
5 minutes.
Then people are going to flip out, and just the same way that they're sort of falling back on, well, okay, civil unions are fine as long as it's not this gay marriage stuff, then they'll just be like, okay, fine, you know, gay marriage as long as we can halt the menace of gay supermarriage.
Right, right. And I need a corollary for the military. Something in the vein of don't ask, don't tell, but more powerful that would give gay soldiers, you know, access to super weapons. Hmm. You know.
Ask and tote ray guns?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Something. I don't know. But regardless of that, so gay supermarriage, I think, basically, first thing, you have all the rights of a straight married couple.
Of course. It starts at marriage. I mean, that's the baseline.
Yeah, that's the baseline.
Everything you get with marriage.
Second of all, because it's gay super marriage, all churches, religious officials, non-religious officials, ship captains, and anyone else who can marry you has to recognize it.
They have to perform it at their institution. They all have to recognize it regardless of where it was performed.
Right.
And they all have to send you a wedding gift.
Yeah. And, you know what, if they have...
Man,
the
gay
couple,
people are going to be swimming in, like, one... What does Alton Brown call them? Like, the kitchen gadgets that are only good for one thing?
Yeah, exactly.
I know he has a catchy name for them, but I forget what it is. Unitaskers.
There you go.
Unitaskers. They're going to be swimming in, like, unitasking kitchen gadgets.
So, the gay couple-to-be also can request whatever costume they want for the officiant, and they have to wear it.
Yes.
Second... gay supermarried people can have all the rights of married people at a hospital. You know, they can decide the fate of their spouse.
They can
visit, all that stuff. Right. But they can also do it for straight couples.
Yeah, they have your rights for
right.
visitation.
They can
they
come
your
in your
right
room.
Will.
Right. They can decide what you want as your final, you know, path in life. you know, whether to pull the plug or not, they get to decide that. They can adopt your children. Even if even if they're legally yours, they can adopt your children because they're super married. That's better than marriage.
Yeah, that's twice as stable.
Right.
By science law.
Science law. I mean, numbers alone prove that. So do you think of any other?
I'm trying to think. Super
I think
marriage.
They get to ride in the HOV lane even if there's only one of them.
Yeah, clearly.
Because they're twice the couple.
Yeah.
So that means each one of them is two people.
Counts as two people, yeah.
Right.
I'm thinking in terms of taxes. They get to file jointly and singly, and each time they pay whichever's easier.
Well, no, they get to fire jointly and singly and get refunds from both.
Right, they get refunds
from
both.
They get double refunds.
But they single pay. They only have to pay whichever one.
They only pay once.
For every given tax, whichever thing is cheaper.
Well, come on, Dave. This isn't regular marriage.
No, it's super marriage.
It's super marriage. I think if we can get this on a ballot, then, yeah, you can get people to agree that
you know, maybe we should slow down and just let gays get married.
Just because you like to play with your own equipment on somebody else doesn't mean you're not a real person.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, right now, because gay super marriage is very scary.
Right.
It's very scary. This is perfect.
Yeah, it is the perfect storm. So, Dave, when did you know that you wanted to get gay super married? I mean, from a young age, was it obvious, or?
I think so, because, I mean, at a certain point, you're just like, you know, I think it was at one point when my mother was in the hospital, and I was just thinking, you know, I should really be able to go into the room next door and just pull that guy's plug.
Yeah. Then he was taking away shit from your mom.
Yeah, no, he wasn't, actually.
I think
he was doing nothing. I just want to stress, he wasn't doing anything wrong.
Oh,
it's just something I kind of wanted to do.
Well, that makes you
a bad
person.
And that's when I realized I wanted to be gay super married.
Right. And here's the danger I see to our plan. Is then straight people might agree so that they can become gay super
married. Oh, and get gay super marriages of convenience?
Right. Right.
Okay, wait. Here's how we have to solve
this. It's like a beard, but in the opposite. So it's like a barber. That's what you would call
a unibrow. You call it a brow.
As a straight man, if I married another straight man to get my gay super marriage rights, he would be my barber, is what I'm saying.
I don't know. Do you want a barber? I kind of like brow.
Like
you just flip it up. They're both pretty good.
We'll put it to the test for society.
Anyhow,
here's
what I've got. Here's what I've got.
What do you have?
And that this actually goes sort of with basically any two participants in a gay super marriage once a month are required to fuck publicly.
Now you're back to, I think some gay couples would really want to get gay super married.
Well, some wouldn't though, but yeah. Also, but I think, you know, you got to keep it honest. And also this still, I think, helps our agenda because, you know, that's part of the claim is, you know, a part of the crazy claim of gay marriage, like that gay marriage opponents have is, you know, that by merely the existence of gay marriage, like, pushes the gay agenda into the schools because they have to mention that it exists.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious because, you know, you're trying to hide, basically pretend things don't exist, which is not the best way to deal with things in the world. But, you know, gay super marriage, you know, forces that issue. Because every once a month, you gotta watch them fuck. It's on all the channels.
It's on all the channels. Oh, that's an interesting world that you're envisioning, but I don't know if I quite agree to that definition.
I'm saying public service.
Public access, you know.
Oh. Public access.
Yeah, I was making a double joke there.
You did.
Anyways.
You did.
The gay agenda thing makes me laugh, though, because people say that there's, you know, it's the gay agenda. It's like saying that when slaves were trying to be freed, that was the slave agenda. You know, they're trying to get into our schools and teach white kids that black kids are human beings.
It's like, well, yes.
Yes, that is, you know.
It's because they're right,
yeah.
As it turns out.
And you don't... The thing that confuses me is you don't get a lot of gay folks coming up and saying, it has been great since I decided to be gay, or, you know, since my boyfriend Joe taught me to be gay, or, you know.
That's not how it goes.
Yeah. So, but, and at the same time, there's an enormous faction of people that believes it's a choice. Where do they get that? Like, where?
Because the secret is, if you have a thing you want to believe, and evidence goes entirely in the opposite direction, you ignore the evidence.
But that's the weird thing to me, then. You have to, if you believe there's a choice, then you have to believe that every straight person has chosen to be straight. Because there has to, if there's temptation for certain people to be gay, then surely there's temptation for all people to be gay, right? It's like drugs. I mean, I understand the appeal of drugs. I don't do them, but...
Wait, Chuck.
Yeah?
Did you not flip a coin when you were 13?
They did not have that ceremony in my school, no.
Oh.
I think that might be a New England thing. I don't know. You know, with the gay Boston, or gay Massachusetts, and gay Maine, and
yeah, Vermont. I flipped a coin when I was 13.
Yeah, they make you.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing, though. If you flipped a coin, surely there would be 50% gay people as opposed to 10% gay people.
Well, it's a trick coin.
It's a trick coin, I say.
That's how the stats normalized in the kind of where they're at with that sort of 5-10% of the population kind of thing.
Mm.
It's a weighty coin.
It's a weighted coin. And how do the gay people who don't flip the coin become gay? Let me ask you a tougher question. Yeah. Let me ask you a tougher question. How do the gay penguins become gay?
Oh my God. Ironically, because they're called flippers, they can't flip a coin with those.
No. It's ironic, though. Yeah, you're right. Flippers is not good at flipping coins. Seals, walruses, penguins. They're all going to have a terrible time with the gay choice in their life. Well, it's not really a choice.
I guess.
Well, see, that's the other thing. You're saying that it's not a choice. It's a random event.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not
I have
a choice.
To agree.
It's
I just don't think it's related to a coin flip.
I don't know. I mean, that seems to have borne itself out.
How exactly did it bear itself out?
Well, I flipped the coin, came up straights. I am a heterosexual to this day.
Before the age of 13, how did you determine any sexuality?
Oh, you know, you just look at everything. You know, you pop some boners, whatever.
You pop some boners, whatever.
Yeah, it's very casual.
It's very casual. Can I tell you a story?
Oh, please do.
This is an embarrassing story, but what are you going to do? That's that makes the story better. When I was, before I got to the age of, I don't know, 14 or 15, I was just completely unconcerned with my appearance. Not that I'm not mostly unconcerned these days.
Right.
But I, to a level like that
100%.
Was. 100%. To a level that
was. Appalling. Gross. Right,
to a
gross.
Level that was perhaps damaging to society.
Right.
Like, right now I just feel like I should at least help society out. When I get dressed in the morning.
Right.
So, and I wore just sweatsuits, seriously, until I was 13 or so. So, let me tell you the problem with sweatsuits and the onset of puberty.
I think I know where this
is
going.
Yeah, you know where it's going. Looking back on it, I don't know how the sweatpants wearing lasted as long as it did. You would have thought, like, the first erection would have been the end of that. But it wasn't. It went on for years.
Kind of admire the perseverance.
Yeah, you have to admire the perseverance.
In a certain way.
I have to. I mean, on one hand, I respect my parents for being very accepting of my choices and allowing me to make choices.
But on the other hand, they should have thrown you into
pants. On the other hand, they should have thrown some jeans on me. That's all I'm saying, yeah. Oh, man. Well, you know, I was a kid. I had to shop in the Husky section. And yep. It was never quite comfortable. I don't know.
I had plenty of jeans with an H on them back in the day.
Oh, man.
I remember.
I'm still in the Husky section. You're getting out of it, though. Are you mostly out of it now? Are you at your ideal weight? Are you at your goal weight?
Ideal is a strong word, but I'm in the zone. I'm getting there.
I tell you what, this is completely, this is dull now. People have already tuned out.
Yeah, you should finish this thought and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah. I'm partway, I'm like 25% of the way through my weight loss program.
Not bad. Not bad.
That is more than 0%. And but when I get old again and the erections go away, back
sweatpants.
To sweatsuits. Yeah. Although now they got the track suits. I mean, you got a whole range of things that will not conceal a boner
mm-hmm.
to wear. And that's freedom. That's freedom. If we lived in a less sexually oppressed society, or suppressed, or when I don't know.
Then sexually
we,
something.
Yeah, we could all wear loose fitting. Mm-hmm. Loose fitting sweatsuits, lucite sandals.
I will tell you though, you know who gets to just kind of flaunt their boners or, you know, lady boners, whatever they've got? Those who are gay super married.
Yeah, yeah. That's a right that they will have.
Yep.
When we get gay super married. Absolutely. Yeah, so I mean, if you want to join our organization, Gay Super Marriage Now, then you're in it. Yep. Welcome to the group.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and campaign.
We'll send out a newsletter or something.
And however you want to define gay supermarriage, we're with you.
Yes.
We're with you 100%.
It's a big tent.
It's a big tent.
Which is kind of funny considering.
With the sweatpants in the direction.
Okay, right, I think we're done.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay. And we're going to take a break and we'll be back with more. I'm trying to think. And welcome back to episode 18 of I'm Trying to Think. Dave cannot control himself. The collision of Proud Mary and Chunky Mary making him laugh. And
it's
that's
just
right.
Funny, folks. It's just
you
funny.
Heard it correct. This is the Chunky Mary segment. You've been waiting for it for weeks.
You submitted
terrible recipes.
You sent us recipes. You demanded it. We postponed it. But then eventually, we just kind of had to do it.
We kind of had to live up to the promise. So,
because we're moral beings. Yeah, we're moral beings.
Correct. Arrayed in front of us are the three finalists for the Chunky Mary contest. Dave, would you like to explain how we whittled down our choices to three?
The field of five.
Yeah.
Well, we got five entries originally.
Right.
And then, you know, going as a first go-round, there were a couple disqualifications.
Yeah.
One over a pure matter of rules, which admittedly we didn't specifically mention, but should have been, I think, read into.
All right.
And then one over a matter of taste.
Okay.
Okay, first, John sent one in. I don't have the exact recipe on hand because, you know, it was disqualified, forgotten about. But what got me on it was the final instruction, which was serve in bowl and eat with spoon.
Yeah, that's...
Now, I'm going to give you credit in that case, John. You're doing a lot... For the spirit of Chunky.
Yes.
You know, and Chunky is an important part of this.
It's half.
But the problem is, another important part of this is that it is the official drink.
The other half is Mary.
Well, of the name, but I'm just saying, of the whole concept is this is the official drink of I'm Trying to Think.
Yeah, not the official served out of a bowl.
Yeah, I would say, like, you're making more of a stew or a soup.
Possibly, yeah.
Which is not... Where we want to roll.
Is that maybe a goulash?
It might be a goulash. His recipe might be the official goulash of I'm Trying to Think, but we'll have to wait for that competition.
Yeah, we'll have to wait for the goulash competition.
Which, I'm not going to lie, is going to be a while.
It's far off.
It's way in the horizon.
All right. So, the second
so that
disqualification was...
And the second is on a matter of taste. User Greg sent one in, which involved essentially... Basically, it was very similar to a Bloody Mary recipe, but subbing out half of the tomato juice for Irish cream. And the chunkiness comes in basically, as I understand it, it's like one of those bad, like an Irish car bomb or a cement mixer kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Where it's, you know, just the basically cream curdling.
Yeah.
And you have to drink it real fast before the cream curdles, or you have to drink curdled cream. Yeah. And I'm just going to say, aesthetically, two things. One... I'm not into drinking curdled cream.
No.
And two, and this is where I really just made it go away aesthetically, is the Chunky Mary is a gentleman's cocktail, okay?
Yeah.
It's not something you drink with your bros in the frat house on a dare before it curdles.
Correct.
It is a gentleman's cocktail.
Right.
You enjoy it.
Also.
While,
I think.
You know, somewhere.
While
nice.
Curdles, you know, curdled milk. Can be chunky from a certain perspective. It's not the kind of chunky we were looking for.
No, no.
So that got us to our final three, which, again, are sitting in front of us.
Indeed.
So would you like to start with number one? Explain, you know, who sent it to us and what's the basic makeup?
Alrighty, will do. Number one, sent in by Fred. has the recipe of 2 jiggers of vodka, 1/2 of Prego chunky spaghetti sauce. This caused a little confusion in the I'm trying to think labs because there's no unit of measurement.
Right.
So we winged it.
We winged it.
We wung it.
We wonged.
We wanged it. I don't wang know. How, I don't know it. How that goes. Yeah.
Everybody.
We wang did wang chung it. That was good.
All right.
Okay. 2 teaspoons of fresh lime juice.
All right.
Worcestershire sauce to taste.
Yes.
Tabasco to taste.
All right.
1 diced celery stick.
Okay.
And 1 diced wedge of lemon.
Okay. So what I'd like to throw up front, a few things. 1, I don't like vodka, so that's fun.
Right.
2, we didn't, our caterer did not taste in case that would spoil the
surprise.
So she just kind of went crazy with it. And yeah. Actually, if we could thank our catering for a moment, thank you to Annette, Craig, Jensen, Werner, she doesn't have enough names yet, for preparing all the wonderful dishes that we're about to consume. So
yeah, I feel like you're probably jumping the gun and thanking her.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. All right. So, without further ado, Dave, we didn't determine who's going to go first, but I've got a coin.
Hey, we can do a coin, but I do want to remind you that right. Not 2 days ago, not no less than 2 days ago,
yeah.
I was feeling feverish.
So you're
put any pressure on
you. Are
you
threatening me with swine flu, Dave?
I'm threatening you with swine flu, yes.
All right, well, on the threat of swine flu, I will go first. This is number one, yes. All right, here we go. The smell.
The bouquet, please. Bouquet.
The bouquet, I definitely detect the Prego. And that leads me to conclude that I'm going to definitely taste the Prego. Which leads me to conclude that maybe this might be our second runner-up. But let's toss it down the gullet. Yeah, that is foul.
Not in?
That is foul. Oh.
All right.
Oh. Sorry to color your opinion before you drink it.
No, that's fine. I'm as a good critic, I know to push away the opinions of others.
Actually, you know what? The second taste of it, it starts to get better.
It's better at second taste? All right,
the catering department would like to like me to inform you that a generic, not even name brand, a generic slap chop was used...
In the creation of this beverage.
To create the beverage.
Speaking of this beverage...
The lemons were slap chopped.
Bottoms up.
Dave, anything? You gotta be quick here, otherwise it's dead air.
It's not bad. I don't know. It's all right. It's definitely tomato sauce.
Yeah, the
mouthfeel is very chunky.
Oh, it's extremely chunky.
I'm gonna say this so far, and just looking at the drinks, this looks like the chunkiest of our Marys.
It is the chunkiest of the chunky Marys. It's the Italian spicing.
Yeah, I think the spicing was a little subtle. I didn't dislike the spicing.
All right. We have a third opinion. Go ahead.
As someone who has drank a lot of Bloody Marys, this actually just tastes like a good Bloody Mary, but it's weird to chew while you're drinking.
All right, well.
All right, I don't know how close to the mic that was. We'll just say the report of catering, who is probably amongst us all, given that Chuck doesn't really like vodka and I don't really drink Bloody Marys that often, is also the Bloody Mary expert.
Current Bloody Mary expert.
That it tastes like a good Bloody Mary, but it is weird to chew.
Number 2, please describe it to the audience.
All right. Number 2 by listener Ed is 2 ounces of vodka. 6 ounces of V8 juice. 1/2 teaspoon of fresh lime juice. 4 dashes Tabasco. 4 dashes Worcestershire sauce. And a handful of frozen peas.
And the drink is poured over the peas.
Yeah, the peas are in the glass. The drink is poured over the peas.
And there's a little bit of black pepper to taste.
Yes, pepper to taste. It's attractive looking in a certain sense.
If I could make a pre-comment.
Go for it.
I like V8. I still don't like vodka. Actually, let me ask catering, what brand of vodka are we using here in our Chunky Marys? Okay, catering's consulting our alcohol.
If
source.
I remember the spread when I was talking consult when I was consulting Svedka. With catering, yeah, it was Svedka.
Svedka.
That
it's the vodka of Sweden.
Middle end vodka.
Middle shelf vodka. All right.
Middle shelf vodka
right,
with a Swedish flag on it.
Here it goes. Frozen peas are the frozen peas really dress it up. I
yeah, it
say.
Is pretty. It's.
I'm a little bit afraid of getting any in my mouth though, because I don't want to eat a frozen pea. No desire.
I feel like they've probably thawed out a bit.
Are you kidding me? No, it'll take them hours to thaw yeah. completely in a cold glass.
Mm.
Forever, man. Ooh, the lemon slice, the lemon wedge is really it's tantalizing my nose. That don't worry, Chuck, you won't really taste this because I'm here to prevent it. So let's try it.
Took a bigger drag of that one, I think. Not sure if you were into it, but you took a bigger drag.
I like V8. And that's the part of this I like. But I have to say, I don't know if Ed tried this. V8 doesn't actually really mix with vodka.
Oh, so is this a layered kind of thing?
It's more that you'll get one, and then you'll get the second. I'm going to let you get surprised by which one comes first.
It was
oh, boy.
Over ice before strained, so...
This was shaken,
so.
All right. Bottoms up.
Bottoms up. Dave's going at it. He likes it. Mikey likes it. His face is judicious.
Not bad. Not bad.
He's giving it a not bad.
I would say it was mild. It was more mild than the first one.
Yeah.
The mouthfeel was better, probably because it was less chunky. It's kind of a good midpoint of chunky. I think to make it a full Chunky Mary, what we'd probably want to do is, instead of just dumping frozen peas in inexplicably,
mm-hmm.
is you'd probably want to get the peas to a more edible state so you could get the chunk more
I
in
think
there.
What you'd take frozen peas and maybe thaw them just a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, thaw them enough
right.
so that you could feel like you could eat them.
But you feel pretty good about that one.
Yeah, I think actually... Honestly, the taste of the first one,
mm-hmm.
I think actually it had more flavor to it.
Okay.
But yeah, the mouthfeel was maybe too chunky.
All right. And number three is the one that scares me the most.
As it should.
Go ahead and tell us about number three.
Number three from your good friend and mine, Hillbilly Joe.
Yeah, email Joe, which his enmity for us... with regards to how well we conduct topics.
Burns bright in his Chunky Mary
yeah,
recipe.
It definitely shows.
All right, so his recipe has 3 ounces, or 2 jiggers, of vodka, 1/2 cup of chunky salsa, 2 teaspoons fresh lemon juice, 1 teaspoon Worcestershire sauce to taste, and incidentally, just as a recipe pro tip for... some of the people who submitted and some people who maybe didn't submit but don't know much about recipes. If something is to taste, you don't need to specify the quantity. I'm just going to say that right now.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of the point of to taste, is that it's, you know, it's a discretionary thing.
Okay.
All right. And then where this got interesting is the original recipe, which we slightly modified, calls for 1.5 ounces of Dave's Insanity Sauce.
So here's the thing. I think Email Joe thought that we were not familiar with Dave's Insanity Sauce, and thus would happily pour 1.5 ounces into a glass and proceed to drink it.
However, we are clever
yeah.
guys.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, we may not ourselves be hot sauce aficionados.
We definitely are not.
But we are aware of the history and kind of recent movement of hot sauce.
Yes.
So we are certainly aware that Dave's Insanity Sauce was the first gourmet hot sauce to use pure capsaicin extract as an ingredient.
Yeah.
And therefore basically kickstarted the arms race of like macho bullshit psychopaths using way too much like hot to the point where it's not even enjoyable
yes.
hot sauce.
And that is why we each have a solid 10 ounces.
Of fresh milk.
Of fresh milk.
And also that's why
we... Compared to the maybe, 6 ounces or 8 ounces
yeah.
of drink.
We toned it down a bit from the 1.5 ounces to basically the bottle instructions, as well as most corroborating online sources, say a couple drops will do you.
Yeah.
Now, we went, I think, and this may have been a mistake, we'll find out, we went a little more than a couple drops.
How many drops did we
go? But we went less than an ounce and a half.
How many drops did we go?
About a half a teaspoon.
That is too much.
About a half a teaspoon.
It's that only is too much. It was pouring snow, and then suddenly it poured.
Oh, I see.
It was
the exacting standards of our catering kitchen.
It was a thick liquid, and it poured.
It is viscous. It's all viscous. Right.
Well,
I think catering gets a pass on viscosity.
Also, Dave, do you have yourself hot salsa for it, and not?
So now it's hot salsa.
I just got what chunky salsa, what they had.
All right, well, irregardless, if you will. Dave, do you have a cell phone handy?
I do. I will get it out.
You may want to pre-dial 911.
The emergency police.
I'm going to stir it a little with
the
celery.
For what it's worth, my cell phone has no reception, so we are just straight in the danger zone.
Nice. Oh, call Kenny Loggins now. The chunkiness of this interests me. Let me just admit, as a man, I am very afraid of this liquid. It scares me quite a bit. Oh, yeah.
He let the record show that he is deeply inhaling the bouquet.
Once again, the lemon is tricking me into thinking this is going to be okay. Let's see.
Oh, that's looks like it has some kick. Looks like it had some kick.
It's tasty, though. I'm not going to have another drink.
But it's tasty?
But it's tasty.
All right, then. Now I'm kind of excited. All right. Bottoms up.
You've already left your lips too much on the glass. You got to get it down as fast as possible.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a burn in the throat.
Give me a moment. I'm going to swish some milk here.
Yeah, that is a burn in the mouth and throat. But it's pretty tasty.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's got a good chunk. Like,
has to be a shooter.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, and it makes the milk taste bad, which is really bad.
Have a cookie.
Oh, yeah, Oreos. All right, here's some crinkling. Yeah,
we apologize for the sound.
There
and
you
the,
go, Dave. There's an Oreo for you.
And the drinking and food, but...
An Oreo for me?
We got to do what we got to do.
Okay, hold on. Just one try. The cookie helps.
Yeah, in post-production, we may put this down, put a little bit of music over it, so you're not just hearing our gnashing and drinking, but that's what we gotta do. Oh, yep. My lips. I did put my lips on that for too long.
Yep. This was a bit made for TV.
Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking.
Okay. Well,
and she passes, each one she passes goes.
We have not really discussed how
when
how we're going to judge the contest.
My freaking lips.
Oh, great. And our Elton is leaving.
Yep, catering has taken the evening off. A well-deserved rest.
Yeah, on my lips. It's like I got sunburn on my lips. That really sucks.
How can I tell her I love her?
Okay. We don't have any... this is the worst. This is the worst podcast ever.
Like I said, I'll keep this pot down. Put a little, girl from Ipanema over it.
Yeah.
Make it work. Okay.
Okay.
I can do the rest of this podcast through bitter, painted lips.
Okay.
That's fine. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, this is gonna end really quickly. All right. Let's make this quick. We don't have any criteria established by which to judge this. It's just kind of a, whatever.
Yeah, free association kind of thing.
How do you feel about the three drinks?
Okay.
Number three is good, then the taste, and then it burns.
Number three is the tastiest, but it fucks you up.
And it's not that chunky. When I drank it,
Here's the thing, though.
Didn't feel chunky.
I think it would be chunkier if you could get to the chunky salsa part, which we couldn't because it's too fucking hot.
Yeah.
Then I think, number one, the chunkiest by far, had a good taste.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, most attractive presentation.
Yes.
Probably the most drinkable of the three.
Yeah.
Because it didn't have the chunkiness of one and didn't have the fuck you of three.
Yeah.
But it was kind of bland.
Yeah, and I think the V8 and the vodka come across as separate tastes, which mm-hmm. is not something you want. So, it's a really hard decision. Oh. And when you lick it, it gets worse because the burning is in your tongue and your lips.
Arr!
Yeah, it's terrible.
Arr! Okay, here's what I think we want to do. Because I think what we've shown...
Who would eat this?
Like, I don't know.
Who would
dumbasses.
Eat things with this on it?
Remember when I was talking about, like, the... One, you can put, like, a couple drops in a sauce.
Yeah.
Like, a pot of sauce.
A pot, maybe.
But yeah, this is retarded. Like I said, macho, bullshit, stupid guys.
Yeah.
But here's my thought.
Okay.
Is, I feel like, because it had the best taste, and I feel like its potential for chunkiness is good, I think we give it to three with the recommendation/proviso that you don't use retard capsaicin hot sauce.
Okay.
If you actually want to enjoy it fully.
Yeah.
Because I think what really made it sing
yeah.
was the salsa base.
The salsa base was actually strong.
You were skeptical
fears.
About the salsa base at first, but...
Yeah.
I think the salsa base was the best way to go.
I would say maybe if we switched the Dave's Insanity to just Red Hot.
Yeah, Red Hot or
which
Tabasco.
Which would add a nice garlic yeah. kick, too. And I think that's the direction to go. Obviously, though, we have to judge it by its merits.
Okay, I mean, if you just want to purely judge... Because I think a modified version of three should be our official Chunky Mary.
Okay.
If you just want to judge these three by their pure merits...
Right. And how well they represent the essence of Chunky Mary. Okay.
You know, I still think...
The burning. Oh, my God.
I still think... That depends what you think the essence of Chunky Mary is, I've got
to
say, because...
Okay, Dave, this isn't the time to have a philosophical conversation.
No, I was...
My face is burning.
I know, so is my mouth. So are my lips. I know. I'm just saying, if the essence of Chunky Mary is chunky, you got to go with number one.
Okay.
If the essence of Chunky Mary is the beauty of presentation... You got to go with number two.
Yeah.
If the essence of Chunky Mary is both taste and also, and I think this might be true to a certain extent, if the essence of Chunky Mary is fuck you, then we have to go with three. So with that as laid out, who do you think wins?
With that as laid out, I think I go with number two because I think in the Chunky Mary world, presentation is key.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one and number three didn't look very chunky. They were in different ways, but they didn't look it.
Okay, so does that mean... Because we did say that the contest winner would be the official Chunky Mary, would be
yeah,
the official
well,
drink if I'm trying to think.
But we've lied before.
That's true. So then do we want to say that number two, Ed, we tip our hats off to you at making the most elegant
yes.
and therefore contest winningest of Chunky Marys?
Yes.
But yet make our official drink, if we want to recommend, be a modified version of Chunky Mary number three.
Yes.
That with, doesn't hate you.
With the presentation of number two. We can do both.
Oh, yeah. You could strain it and put the peas in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't. I don't recommend drinking or trying to eat frozen peas.
No.
But as far as presentation, it works.
And also, you could thaw them a bit.
And try that. But I
and
think
it would probably work.
I think it might. The taste might be. I think that you use peas as an ice replacement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, just use the first. Oh, yeah. I get that.
So we'll experiment in the labs and see. But I think for winning, we have to go with number two.
Okay.
Congratulations, Ed. You win nothing.
Yeah, you don't win anything. And, you know, a tip of the cap to our Hillickbilly for making the tastiest, albeit cruelest, of the Chunky Marys.
Yeah, it tastes really good for a second.
A second, yeah.
I don't remember what that taste was like. And I'll be damned if I'm going to find out.
No,
again,
it was obliterated pretty quickly.
But
by
there
burning.
Was a second where I remember it being nice.
It was just like, oh, this is delightful.
Oh, man. Well, that has been episode 18 of I'm Trying to Think. Do you have anything else to say? Next?
I don't know. We should probably thank our sponsors at the Foundation Institute, who, due to the intense science and preparation that this required, didn't get a full shout out, didn't get a full, advertising spot this week.
Yeah, there's no, we didn't, yeah. But thank you to the Foundation Institute, as always, for their support.
Yeah.
Thanks to our fans.
We couldn't have done it without the generic slap chop that they'd provided.
That's true. A big thank you to the fans who keep us going every week. That's not really
even
true.
Even when they try to stop us going.
Yeah, you could try and stop us. We're going to keep going. It's more like...
Some of them did try to stop us.
Yeah,
they wanted us to put an ounce and a half of Dave's insanity in that thing.
I imagine some of them are our enemies by now.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. Tune in next week. Dave was angry about some stuff earlier, so I'm going to make him talk about it. And it'll be a Dave's
that sounds
angry
good.
Episode.
The nice thing is I've already forgotten what it was, so bring it up again and I'll get angry about it for the same reason.
Awesome.
It'll be great.
And first I'll have to remember what it was too.
Oh no, it's okay actually, because I just remembered what it was. And I'm a little angry about
it.
But I'm gonna save it. I'm gonna
save it.
I'm gonna put it in my anger pit for later.
Everybody needs a well developed anger pit. Okay, thank you again for tuning in, and tune in next week. We will be doing a show, despite the importance of Halloween. Everybody dress up, have a good time, and then we'll see you the Thursday after that with more. I'm trying to think. Pumped a lot of pain down in New Orleans, but I never saw the good side of a city. Chunky. 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 Chunky Mary.